think it's fitting that today I stand here on this world where so long ago another war was waged. The conflict here put events in motion that would ultimately end where they began. The people of Almagest have fought many times for the principles we in the Alliance hold dear. You have shown resilience, courage, and a commitment to justice. You have paid a high price to assure all your people are valued and protected, and to give future generations hope. You knew that peace without justice was tyranny, and you did not rest until you wiped that tyranny from your planet. Safeguarding this liberty will be an ongoing struggle. Forces which oppose you will threaten time and again. You must never let down your guard. As members of the Interplanetary Alliance, we will protect each other, stand together, and fight together when necessary. As a reminder of our commitment to you and to the principles for which we all stand, please accept this gift. Minister Bonaire swept her arm out toward the back of the square, where an obelisk, similar to the one Kaylee had seen on Mira, now stood. May this monument be a reminder that you will never be alone in your pursuit of freedom. A moment of deep silence fell over the crowd. Then they burst into applause. Kaylee felt a rush of emotion she couldn't easily qualify. Relief, maybe. A sense of belonging. She didn't have time to sort it out because she, Finn, Eric Kellen, and Ben Glass were needed on the stage to sign the official admittance documents, a ritual that held symbolic value, even if the legality of Almagest's membership had been established many months ago. Another round of applause met their small group. When this part of the ceremony ended, Minister Bonaire spoke again, now in a more somber tenor. Sometimes an enemy comes from within, as the people of Almagest well know. An insidious enemy nearly destroyed the fabric of our alliance. They may have been motivated by greed, power, some corrupted version of purpose, maybe all those things. Whatever the case, on my watch, something ugly sank its teeth into the Alliance, and it is only because a group of courageous individuals chose to put their own lives at risk that we are able to stand together today. The personal cost to them was great, and no amount of recognition or reward can ever repay them for their sacrifices. I only hope the knowledge that we are grateful, that our future is more secure, and that the Alliance still stands will bring them comfort and satisfaction. She turned the podium over to Admiral Donovan, who looked over his former crew with pride.
The Horizon crew is one of the finest in the fleet, and certainly the finest I have ever commanded. Most of what they've done to protect our member worlds will never come to light. Their sacrifices will never be fully recognized. Today we will honor them for their part in liberating Mira, a planet occupied for nearly a decade. But even more importantly, we will honor them for upholding the principles of the Alliance and for uncovering a terrible truth, despite the grave danger to themselves and the ruthlessness of their adversaries.
Donovan turned to Minister Bonaire, who held an open box in front of her. The senior officers of Horizon's crew stood to receive their commendations. Kaylee watched Derek's face as Donovan pinned the medal to his uniform. He held his expression blank, but Kaylee heard his voice catch when he said his thanks. The morning of their wedding dawned bright and cool. Kaylee and Kat had stayed at Leah's the previous night. There was no sign of either of the other women as Kaylee wrapped a blanket around herself and stepped out into the backyard. No surprise, since they'd stayed up well past midnight laughing and talking. Kaylee probably should have tried to get a few more hours of sleep, but that wasn't happening. Her stomach fluttered, and her heart raced. Tendrils of gentle pink and orange seeped over the horizon, promising the sun would soon follow. Kaylee's mind wandered to Daniel, the man who would have been her husband if the Amathi hadn't destroyed her home. The sharp edge of that particular pain had dulled to a familiar, quiet sadness. Daniel had deserved a long, full life, not a brutal death at age 25 from a gunshot wound to the chest. The demarcation in Kaylee's life before the Amathi invasion and after was stark and absolute. Even the untimely death of her parents hadn't infused her world with the kind of violence she'd faced later. Now, watching the tree limbs gently sway in the morning breeze, she allowed herself to truly believe it was all behind her. Hope, warm and full of promise, spread through her. It wasn't long before the household came to life. Clattering dishes, children's laughter, and the enticing aroma of breakfast drew Kaylee back inside. Ben hurried to feed the boisterous group and then ushered the children out of the way. Leah and Kat fussed over her, forcing her to eat and then handing her tea, laced with something stronger, to calm her nerves. She soaked in the bath, brushed her curls, and pinned them into a twist. Kaylee's dress was simpler than the one she'd planned to wear years ago, but no less beautiful. The silky cream fabric left her shoulders bare but flowed to her ankles. Kat tucked wildflowers into her hair. Leah clasped a sparkling necklace, a gift from Derek's mother, around her throat. Catching a glimpse of her reflection, Kaylee barely recognized herself. When they arrived in the late morning, the memorial garden overflowed with people. End-of-summer blooms splashed bright colors along the walking paths, and the sweet fragrance carried on the breeze. Derek had asked her to marry him in this place, knowing that her losses, as much as anything else, had shaped her into the person he loved. With the names of the dead inscribed on the wall in front of her, and the smiling crowd of friends and family seated behind her, Kaylee took Derek's waiting hand. Derek, Chapter 48. 1 year later. The house was nearly finished. Derek wandered the perimeter, appreciating Noah's craftsmanship. Always an accomplished sculptor, the young man had turned his attention to architectural design, bringing Nivali artistry into every new structure he built on Alamath. The sloping backyard curved down toward a meandering brook nestled into the valley below. Floor-to-ceiling glass covered the back of the house, assuring a spectacular view of the water, the forest, and the distant mountain range. Derek and Kaylee checked on the progress of their new home every day, stopping by either before or after work. He heard her voice now, from the front of the house, chatting with Noah. Running a hand over the smooth trim on the back door, he walked toward them. Kaylee carried a basket and a blanket. When she saw him turn the corner, she waved with her free hand. "I stopped by Dorian's and grabbed us some dinner." Noah greeted him warmly. "We're finished for the day. Had a couple of questions, but they can wait until tomorrow. Enjoy your picnic," he said, smiling. Derek took the blanket from Kaylee. Together they headed back to where he'd just been standing. Another hour of daylight awaited them before the sun slipped below the mountain peaks. He found a relatively flat spot to spread the blanket, and Kaylee knelt to set the basket down. "Hungry?" she asked. "Always," he answered. She caught his gaze and held it. "What is it?" he asked. She didn't answer, and instead began unpacking their dinner from the basket. Something was on her mind. He felt her thoughts humming against his. Stretching out on his back, he stared up at the blue sky. As he inhaled the scent of damp leaves, earth, and late summer berries, he watched wisps of white clouds float by overhead. He still struggled at times to calm his racing thoughts and remember that the war was over. Even if his mind knew this truth, sometimes his body failed to follow suit. But with each passing day, he trusted this reality more and more. Kaylee joined him, her warm body pressed next to his. "Derek," she said softly. He turned his head. Her eyes glistened with unshed tears. She interlaced her fingers with his. "What is it?" he asked. "Listen," she whispered. She closed her eyes, and he did the same. Her consciousness joined with his until there was barely a distinction between the two. He could hear the blood pulsing through her vessels, the breath flowing in and out of her lungs. He felt the beating of her heart inside his own body. And then he felt another. The End. This has been Equinox, Horizon Book 3. Written by Tabitha Lord. Narrated by D.W. Draffin. Copyright 2019 by Wave Equation Media. Production copyright by Wave Equation Media.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.